Good evening. It is good to see Gary. First time I've gotten to see him in a long time. It is good to have him back with us. It is good to be here just as a body. It is a wonderful thing for us to have opportunity again to just come together and sing some praises together. And I appreciate our song leader. Steve does a wonderful job, and so does all the rest of the men in this congregation that lead us in song. What a blessing and privilege it is for us to be able to lift our voices to God in praise. We often talk about the resurrection. And a lot of people in this world want to deny the resurrection. There are a lot of people in this world who will simply state to us that it never happened, that this is not a fact of history, that this thing that we call a fact, an actuality, never did happen. If that were to be true, how would that affect our relationship with God? It'd change everything, wouldn't it? Everything that we believe, everything that we understand about our relationship with God would be changed immediately. Because our relationship with God is completely dependent upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want to share some things with you tonight about the resurrection. What are the implications for us as Christians if there weren't a resurrection? Implications of no resurrection. Turn over to John chapter 3, a passage that we know very well. The first thing that I would say is, if there were no resurrection, the implications of that would be that the life that's been promised to us would be no more than a lie. In John, John records in chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, he said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life." Again, John records in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. He said, "These things I write, or these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." Life is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Life, eternally speaking, is based on, is brought out of this fact that Jesus Christ not only came and lived a perfect life and offered the perfect sacrifice, but that He died, He was buried, and ultimately He was resurrected. If the resurrection did not happen, then our life, or the life promised to us, would be nothing more than a lie. Do you understand that the majority of the world believes the resurrection to be a lie? And that the life that we believe, the life that we hold dear, our eternal salvation, then is a lie. They believe that we don't understand and that we are believing a lie. If there's no resurrection, that's true. Another thing, an implication of no resurrection is, look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Another implication would be that the gospel itself would be a lie. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth in chapter 15, beginning in verse 12, we'll read down to verse 19 together. He said, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" Now, people are already arguing just immediately after the resurrection. Now, was there an argument at that time? Well, yeah, there were people, the Jews didn't want it. There are a lot of people who did not want the resurrection to have happened. Was it a fact? Absolutely. You look at all the historians, you look at so many things that went on, all the writings, contemporary documents, historians that were not even Christians, and I could list a number of those documents that we could study from, and they all point that Jesus did, in fact, live again. That people saw Him. And if that weren't enough, we could look back and we could see that this movement happened immediately after His death. Thousands, tens of thousands of people giving their life to Him, to this cause, immediately after His death and His resurrection. Why would anybody do such a thing if He wasn't raised from the dead? Why would His own apostles believe in Him and be teaching? They were hiding. Why would they have believed? There is so much evidence for the resurrection that we must believe. And Paul's saying, now, if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we have testified against God that He has raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. You hear all the things that he says? If, in fact, the resurrection did not happen, then there are some things that affect us greatly. He said that the gospel is a lie. First off, he said in verse 14 that our preaching is in vain. If the resurrection of Christ didn't actually happen, then everything that we're preaching is in vain. We have nothing to offer the world. We have nothing to offer you. You don't even need to listen to us. All preaching about Christ would be in vain. You know, there are a lot of people who say the Bible is a good book, and we learn some things. We can glean some good things to help us, you know, live a better life. But that there's still no resurrection. And what Paul says, if there's no resurrection, then everything is worthless. Everything that we're preaching is worthless. It's in vain. There is nothing good in this book if Christ didn't raise, if He wasn't raised from the dead. The latter part of verse 14, he says, our faith then is also in vain. Everything that we've believed is in vain. The life that we're living, the life that we've given up is in vain. The things that we chased after and we gave up, and the way we changed our life, all of those things are in vain. He even says that the apostles' testimony, those of us who witnessed it, those of us who have been miraculously empowered to perform all these signs, everything else that we do, our testimony also is false. He says in 17, then we are still in our sins. If the resurrection didn't happen, those who believed and have passed on, he says, those have perished with no hope. There's nothing after life if there is no resurrection. If Christ hasn't been raised, then no one will be raised. And all those people who believed died in vain. And then look at the last thing. This has always hit me in this passage. In verse 19, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. If this is it, if we've given up all the things that this world has to offer, and all we have is this life, we are to be pitied above everyone. Why does he say that? Because if this life is it, then we might as well enjoy it. Eat, drink, and be merry, and do everything that the flesh can enjoy in this life. Do it all if there's nothing after this life. If there is no resurrection. If the resurrection didn't happen, there are a lot of effects on our life and who we are. Implications of no resurrection. The life promised would be a lie. The gospel that the apostles have taught, that we've believed in, that we've put our confidence in, would be a lie. And we, above all people in the world, should be pitied. That's if there is no resurrection. And I know we don't have the time tonight, but we could talk for a long time about the proofs that God has given us for the resurrection. And maybe we need to do that. I don't know, but there are those proofs there, and we've studied them, and we've looked at them, and it would be probably beneficial to look at those things again. But the resurrection, in fact, did happen. So what are the implications of the resurrection? What does the resurrection mean to us as we're talking to our friends or the people in this world who don't believe in the resurrection, or they're confused, or they're asking questions? What does the resurrection really mean to us and to them? First, it means that Jesus is God. John chapter 1 and verse 1. Do you remember this verse? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. What a powerful chapter John chapter 1 is. Jesus is deity. Jesus is God. Implications of the resurrection? He is God. He is deity. So many people, I was just in a conversation with someone this weekend about this very thing. That there are good people, and that Christ, or that Jesus, was a man. They believed that He lived and He was a good person, but He wasn't God. There are a lot of religious groups that believe that He lived and that He was a good moral individual, or even some have said that He became a God, a little God, but He wasn't God. The resurrection, the implication of that, says that He is God. He is God. Another thing that the implication of the resurrection is, we have His complete revealed will to direct us in every area of our life. John chapter 14 and verse 26 and 16, 13. Some of these passages we've looked at many, many times in our life. The Lord is talking to His disciples in those passages, and He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And He's saying the Holy Spirit is going to come back, and He's going to guide you into all truth. The things that you can't understand right now, He's going to come back and He's going to refresh your memory. And not only that, He's going to teach you everything. Those things that you can't comprehend yet, He's going to open your mind and allow you to understand those things. In 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, all Scripture is inspired of God, or is God-breathed, and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Not only just for ourselves, but for everyone in this world. The resurrection is the context, is the proof that we have God's will revealed to us in His Word. This is the proof that we need. Paul, write again in 1 Corinthians 14 and 37. If anyone thinks he's a prophet or spiritual, let him take note that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of God. And he says in many other places, even like in Galatians chapter 1, he said, the gospel, the message of the cross, the thing that I've gotten from God, I didn't get it from man, I didn't learn it, but God Himself gave it to me, directly gave it to me, just as He promised He would. The resurrection puts an exclamation point on God's revealed will and how perfect it is for us. Ephesians 1:13 says, in Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. We have a guarantee. Our confidence, our salvation is wrapped up completely and totally in the resurrection, the revealed resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection means everything for us. Paul again, Romans 10:17 says, "By faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." We listen to God's Word. We understand it. We study it. And our faith comes from nowhere else but here. Why? Because it's a message of Jesus Christ. It's a message of the cross. It's a message of the gift of God for us. It's a message of Jesus Christ coming in form of man and giving Himself and being sacrificed and ultimately being raised from the dead. The resurrection reveals God's will to us. We know where faith comes from, and it's from His Word. Implications of the resurrection also. Jesus Christ is not only God, but He's the Son of the living God that we're taught. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul writes that Jesus is declared to be the Son of God with power from the resurrection. The resurrection declares Him the Son of God with power. And again, talking about the blessing, the promise that God spoke through the prophets and all the way up to our time, God promised His Son to us for all generations, and He's declared with power from the resurrection to be that Son of promise for us. All of these things are implications of the resurrection. Not only that, even the Old Testament finds validity in the resurrection. Moses is spoken of and mentioned more than 11 times in the book of John. Quotes about the Old Testament and things of God's men and women in the Old Testament are found throughout the New Testament. Noah, the ark, and the flood are all mentioned as factual events and people the Lord mentions in Matthew chapter 24. If the resurrection didn't happen, did any of those things, or did they even matter? Did Noah build an ark? Did God flood the world? Does it matter? Not if there wasn't a resurrection. Not if Jesus Christ wasn't raised from the dead. None of those things would matter. So the importance of all of those things, of Moses and leading the people across the Red Sea and into the promise, or to the promised land, not into it, but to it, none of those things would matter or find any meaning at all if there wasn't a resurrection from the dead of Jesus Christ. The Genesis account of creation finds its validity in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15 that everything that has been created was created by Him and for Him, talking about Jesus Christ. Evolution, the account of creation, is proven false in the resurrection. Again, John 1, 3, all things came into being through Him, and apart from Him nothing came into being that has come into being. The Old Testament finds its validity as well in the resurrection. You think about all the things, all the stories that we've studied about from the time we were little children all the way up to our point in our life now, and none of those things have any meaning at all if the resurrection didn't happen. None of those things. Now, if God can raise Jesus from the dead, then everything has meaning. If there is a resurrection, then we have a comforter with us today, just as He promised we would. In John chapter 14, in John 14, 16, He says, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever." In chapter 15, verse 26, He says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about Me." In 16, chapter 16 and verse 7. But I tell you, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do go away, the Helper, who will not come to you, but if I go, I will send Him to you. Think about the resurrection and what it means. Everything that we believe, everything that we understand about God, everything that we've been taught about God finds its truth, finds its essence in the resurrection. There is nothing, there is no importance whatsoever in our relationship with any deity if the resurrection didn't happen. Thank God for the resurrection. Thank God for the empty tomb. Thank God for all the witnesses throughout time who have written things. Not only the apostles and all, but everyone else through that time who's written things and talking about the resurrection from the dead of Jesus Christ. Just as He promised from all through the Old Testament and He brought about in Jesus during the first century. Thank God for the resurrection. What a powerful thing we have in our life to hold on to. What a powerful thing that gives us meaning in our life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why is it so important? Because it teaches us so many great things about God? Does it teach us so many things about how powerful He is and all of those things? Yes, it does that. But even more significant to you and to me is this. Because He raised Him from the dead, we also can be raised from the dead just like He was. God has promised us that. The resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us the assurance of our resurrection, of our eternal salvation, of our home with God for all eternity. We have a risen Savior who now holds the power over death. That's who we believe in. That's who we have our faith and our confidence in. That's who we're following. And when someone in this world asks, why do you believe what you do? We can point simply to the resurrection and say, here's why I believe. God raised His Son from the dead for you and for me. And because of that, we have the assurance that God will do the same for us today. God loves His people. God wants to bless us. He wants us to have absolute confidence in our eternal life. So He raised Christ from the dead. Does the resurrection mean anything? You bet it does. It means everything to us. That is the most powerful thing God has given us to understand our relationship with Him. What a powerful thing it is. And I don't know where you are tonight. Maybe you're struggling with that. Maybe you're struggling with giving your life over to Him. And that's what the resurrection was all about, is that He was raised so that we might die to ourselves and to this world and be raised in likeness of Him. And we can only do that by giving our life to Him. And that begins by being immersed into Him. And if you haven't done that, you can do that tonight. But maybe you've already done that, and maybe you've taken control back of your life. There's only one that can raise you on the last day, and that's God. He's willing to do it if you'll allow Him. I don't know where you are in your life. Maybe there's something that you have a need in your life for us to pray with you or for you. We would love to do that right now. That's one of the privileges of the resurrection, is being able to talk to God at any time that we want. If tonight there's any reason you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we'd ask you to do it right now while we stand and we sing together.